Well, hello everybody. Welcome to the Implant Graphics webinar, A Tale of Two Implants, Achieving and Attaining Web-to-Print Success, sponsored by Rochester Software Associates. I'm Jeff Hayes, President of InfoTrends, and I'm the host today for your event. We've got a great topic, one that I believe is vital to every implant out there. We're talking about web-to-print systems and how implants can apply them and bring their operation really to the next level. And we are certainly very fortunate to have two excellent panelists with us today who will be sharing their experiences and answering your questions as we go along. So please be thinking about some things you'd like to talk about that don't get covered or some more details you're looking for. I've got a few tips here I just want to run through before we get started. First, if you have any technical difficulties, you can do some troubleshooting by clicking on the Help widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box that you see there. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists, and we'll be doing our best to select the best ones that come up and send them in at any time. We're going to, feel free to interrupt our speakers a little bit and then save some time at the end for additional Q&A, and I'll do my best to prioritize and get through as many as we can. Also, please make sure to turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so you can utilize the different widgets on the console, and click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn, what all these widgets do and how you can customize them. The other thing I'll note is that you will be able to directly download the slides from the console, and you'll see a widget there with that capability. It's the green one with the folder on it. So let me just give you a little background on who our speakers are today joining me. We've got Tasha Worrell from the she's the manager at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center's Print Center Services, and she's been with them for about 5 years and running their production operations for the last two. She's responsible for a variety of aspects, all the process improvements, project turnaround times, insourcing of external print projects, and cost savings initiatives. She's got a Bachelor of Science degree from Washington and Jefferson College and a very interesting background in fine art, entrepreneurial studies, and supply chain. We also have Abbas Badani, and he is the director of the Multimedia and Print Center at Penn State, one of the largest state universities in the country, and he's been working at their production operations for the last 9 years. And Penn State is a little bit new to web-to-print, so he's got some interesting perspectives in terms of the process they've gone through. He's also got a great background. He's used to work at Texas A&M University in their implant and in various commercial operations. He's got a bachelor's degree in printing and accounting and a master's degree in operations management. So two very qualified speakers here. And as I noted, I'm the president of InfoTrends. We're an industry analyst firm, and we do a lot of work with the enterprises out there, helping them with some of their operations and also working with some of the technology vendors as well. So in terms of today's agenda, very quickly, we're going to get the perspectives of Tasha and Abbas. I'm going to provide some perspective and share with you a little bit of research that we've done over the last couple of years. And also, I want to note that we're going to have a follow-up webinar to this event with Tasha and Abbas on June 24th, and we're going to revisit some of the progress they've made related to some of their implementations and as they've been kind of taking their implementations to the next level. So please put that on your calendar as well. But I thought I would start just with a little bit of history on web-to-print. And I'm not really sure who invented web-to-print. I don't think it was Al Gore. But I do know that, like many areas related to digital production printing, that the road does seem to go through Rochester, New York. And one of the earliest commercial implementations was from Xerox. Back in 1995, they had a product called InterDoc. And that was a client-server software that provided distributed print-on-demand capabilities via the Internet. The product enabled users to set up an electronic storefront on the web that showed the print services that were available, and then customers could fill out forms or job tickets and submit those jobs via a browser such as Mosaic or Netscape. And that probably sounds pretty familiar to some of you out there today. Things really started heating up, though, for web-to-print, or print e-commerce, as it was called, in the late 90s and really through the dot-com boom. There were all kinds of startups, as well as many established technology vendors introducing web-to-print systems and whole new print service providers that kind of made their company based on web-to-print capabilities. In fact, I recall back around 2000, InfoTrends did a big study and profiled many of the technology vendors and service providers out there. You might recall companies like Noosh and NowDocs and HTT Print, VistaPrint, Mimeo.com, iPrint.com. These are companies that all kind of grew up around that time, each with slightly different approaches, different capabilities. And then, you know, we had the sort of the dot-com crash, and there was a lot of consolidation. Some of them were able to kind of survive and last. It was around that time that Rochester Software introduced their Web CRD software. And I think what made Web CRD special was that it was really designed for that corporate university and government print center environment. And it had a lot of the features that were needed in terms of automated ordering, fulfillment, job ticketing, production management, but also chargebacks across various departments. And it's certainly a product that's evolved and stood the test of time. And if we kind of fast forward now about 10 years or so, based on some research that InfoTrends has done, we find that the majority of implants today have some type of web-to-print or online job submission capabilities. So in some respects, if you are an implant and have not yet implemented, you're really on the late adopter side. And my sense is if you don't get involved fairly soon, you're probably going to be really on that sort of laggard or really late adopter part of the marketplace. I think more importantly, though, is that you're likely losing customers and jobs. And InfoTrends regularly does interviews with print customers, and we have found that, in 2012, about 23% of print customers reported buying at least half of their print via a web-to-print system. And this was especially true for print customers who purchase frequently or in high volumes. In other words, you know, many of your best customers. And just to kind of put all this in perspective, in terms of the general economy, there was some data out recently from the National Retail Federation that looked at the most recent Christmas shopping season. And what they noted was this was the first time that the Cyber Monday sales in the U.S. exceeded in-store, you know, Black Friday sales. And, you know, Black Friday is that day after Thanksgiving, traditionally the biggest shopping holiday of the year, with many stores, you know, going into the black in terms of profitability. Cyber Monday is the following Monday. It's a newer term that's been out there. But you're now seeing more sales happening online than through the actual store environment. So really a change that's happened here, and it's not just the retail industry, but many others as well, and print has definitely been a big part of that. Now, if we look at some other InfoTrends research, and you look at the overall print industry, you know, overall demand has been generally flat. Part of that's been caused by the recession lately and kind of coming out of that, but there's also been a lot of substitution in terms of digital delivery of content. Print is still a huge industry, but what we see is orders coming through traditional methods, which might be over the phone or through a sales rep, has been declining at 1% to 3% per year, while jobs coming in through an e-enabled process have been growing at about 11% per year, and that's our projection over the next 4 or 5 years or so. It's about 17% of the business in 2011, growing to nearly 30% by 2016. So if you don't have web-to-print, effectively you're operating in a smaller market every year, and it's certainly harder to grow your business in a declining market, and each year you become a little bit more susceptible to an outsourcing alternative or perhaps to some type of downsizing. Now, we've also done a little bit of research trying to understand some of the hidden costs associated with print and business communications. And what we did recently is we went out and we talked to a lot of print customers, print buyers, if you will. We looked at a variety of different print jobs, sell sheets, PowerPoint presentations, brochures, manuals, many of the things I'm sure folks out there are producing today. And we looked at them in different run lengths, from different types of print service providers and different purchasing methods. And we quantified not only the physical printing costs, but also the time and money spent in the authoring, the design, the updating, the ordering process, the warehousing, and all the other sort of other elements of the life of that document. And as part of the research, we gathered actual samples and examples from print buyers and document owners, and we interviewed them to understand who did some of that pre-production work, who did the design, the composition, the project management, what type of worker was involved in various tasks, how much time did they spend on these activities, and what was the cost of those people in terms of their salary or wage and any overhead-related factors. And then we gathered some production price information from publicly available sources through printer websites and going calling up corporate print and implant operations and talking to them about their pricing schedules. and compiled all that. What this chart right here shows that you see is basically looking at the items related to the ordering and picking up of a job. So it may have been visiting the print center or the print shop, specifying the order and placing that order, reviewing any proofs, the time required to go back and pick it up, and other things like error rates and other administrative elements that can take up some of the time associated with that. And we looked at the time and the cost associated with making those purchases through an in-house or through a commercial environment or quick print type of environment, as well as, you know, ordering it through a web-to-print or an online type of print service provider. And what we found was that the hidden cost to the print customer just associated with ordering a job tended to be around just under $17 when working with an implant operation and around $21 when working with a commercial or quick printer type of operation. And we found that when placing an order through a web-to-print system, the cost came down dramatically. In fact, you know, you see that there's generally no face-to-face visit in many cases, so I eliminate some of the travel. The order placement is actually generally faster because I'm giving the customer, in many cases, a narrower set of choices, and I kind of guide them through the ordering process. The proofing is typically done real-time, and the error rates are actually much, much lower. So these hidden costs or soft costs for the customer through a web-to-print system in terms of their time are generally only around $4 per job. Now for large jobs, you know, these are fairly modest costs, but for shorter runs, they can actually be quite significant. And all the research that we do indicates that run lengths have been coming down as customers do more versioning and more frequent updates and also engage in multi-channel marketing activities. So you've got a cost factor here, and you've also got a customer preference factor. And I think, you know, you need to consider giving the customers choice and enabling them to work with you the way they want to. And I guess the analogy I might give would be, you know, going to your local grocery store, right? You can go and fill up your shopping cart and then go through the regular checkout line. I might call that the long run face-to-face option. You can go through the express line if you only have a few items. That would be more your short run face-to-face option. Or you could do some type of self-checkout, you know, perhaps a print kiosk. Or you could order everything online and then either have it delivered or pick it up yourself, which is really the web-to-print option. And I think print service providers need to have that same mentality. I'm going to let the customer order from me however they want, however they're most comfortable, and whatever really fits their needs, given the type of job and the way that they want to interact with me. Now, there's plenty of other benefits associated with web-to-print communications and customer convenience that I think Tasha and Abbas will describe. But if you find you're losing volume to outsourcing or other commercial printers, I really believe web-to-print is going to be a way that you can get some of that volume back and you know, gain a little bit more of that competitive edge that you may have lost to some extent. So I'm gonna you know, pause here for a minute and now introduce again Tasha Worrell. She's the manager of UPMC, and they've done some implementation. They've been working with WebCRD, I believe, for a while, and she's going to share with you some of her perspectives. And, again, if you've got some questions, feel free to enter those in. I'm going to be monitoring them and asking them of Tasha or saving them for the end as we go along. So, Tasha, I'd like to turn it over to you.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Jeff. So one of the things that we're going to talk about today is UPMC's web-to-print solution that we have, a little bit of what we use it for, and where we plan to go in the future with it. And we're working on that process actually right now. A little bit about UPMC. We had about a $10 billion revenue in 2012. We have over 20 hospitals, and we're growing. We just got another one last year. We have about 55,000 employees. Of those, only about 20 of us support the print center. We usually typically print about over 10 million impressions per month. November was a record breaker. We almost hit 12. We were at 11.44 million impressions per month. And all of that flows through either WebCRD or our QDirect holding cell that we also use, which is another RSA product. And we have about 2,500 to 3,000 items processed through QDirect, and about 5,000 active users, and we're growing more users every day. So what UPMC has done over the last several years is we've implemented RSA's product, their WebCRD, and we call it MyPrintRequest. It's our branding, I should say, for UPMC. But we've developed this solution over the years, and it's been a very big growing process for us. We have a print governance committee, which is a very strategic, high-level group of folks from all different organizations, from all different departments in the organization. So we have the people from the health insurance division. We have people from the healthcare division. We have people from physician's offices, finance, supply chain management. Everybody plays a part in this particular committee. We all know that print is a necessary service for healthcare to survive, for charting, things like that, brochures, patient information, delivering information to our patients while they're in the hospital. So this committee was really developed to find a way, what's the best way to control print internally and externally? How do we get our hands wrapped around what we're printing? How do we control the cost? Things like that. So that's really what that governance committee is driving. One of the other things UPMC has done over the years is we've consolidated all the small hospital print centers into one centralized print center. So back in the day, every hospital had their own little print center in the basement printing forms for their particular hospital, and we've been able to combine that into one place. And really, that helps in terms of centralization and volume band discounts as well when you start to look at the overall volume you have in one location. And we continue to evolve both the print center and our web-to-print solution over time. And we're in the middle of an upgrade right now and a project that we've been working on. Over the last few months, we've done some research and analysis, and we put together an ROI for a new facility, additional staff, all based on print that was done externally. And though we could possibly drive internally using our web-to-print solution. So our current web-to-print, and what you see there is an kind of what our home screen looks like today. We use this to insource millions of dollars of external print. Our WebCRD tool is more than just an order submission, although it is the only way that we accept orders nowadays. So we no longer accept fax orders, email orders, phone calls. Everything is driven through my print request, and we really don't have much of pushback on that anymore. That has become our standard traditional way. Sometimes we'll get a random paper form here and there, but as soon as we tell them about my print request, they go out there, they fill it out, and it's really convenient for them. But we use it to monitor our costs, track data, how many orders, how long does it take to process a certain order, what orders went outside to our outside vendors. We report back on it, too. We report back for accounting purposes, based on division of the hospitals, what departments order what, charging back. We no longer have to cut checks for every department or process invoices for every department. Everything comes into my print request through an order, through our web-to-print solution, and we run one billing cycle at the end of the month, and we do one chargeback. So it's a significant improvement in automation on time for accounting and billing as well. One of the things that we've learned through our journey with web-to-print is that the pre-production phase is equally as important as production. And our web-to-print solution is vital to that. We actually use it to manage all the databases for the organization. So part of this new evolution that we're going through is we've got three folks, three new employees, and one is solely dedicated to managing forms throughout the entire UPMC database. So we have a couple other different databases of forms for print that are like one-off locations. They're based in clinical areas. We have somebody that manages all of those in conjunction with the web-to-print solution. For standardization, control, liability issues, anything like that, consistency, version control. So that was identified as an area of concern, and we've used my print request and kind of learned that lesson the hard way. We also use it to control our branding, too. So people can custom order appointment cards with their own information on it, but the templates include our brand and can't be adjusted. You know, you basically can just type in the field that you want to use. One of the things that we're working on right now is becoming a one-stop shop for the entire organization to provide access to everyone who needs to print something, that something being an appointment card, a form, a booklet, a brochure, and we've given them access to every other print location within the organization. So, for example, if they go into My Print Request and they need to get to the clinical nursing type of print forms, there's a link on our homepage that takes them straight to where they need to go. If they need to order patient education materials, which are given to every patient upon discharge, they can go straight to that particular location and order their patient education materials all through our web to print solution. One of the biggest things that we're working on right now in terms of growing is putting the printing experts at the front of the process, and by that making us first right of refusal for all print work. So we're funneling. Right now we still send work outside suppliers. Some hospitals go directly to those outside suppliers instead of funneling through My Print Request. We're working on shutting that off and having them funnel through our web-to-print solution and controlling that just so that we can offer up our end users the best way to print their particular files, whereas perhaps an outside vendor won't have their best interest and financial interest at heart. So we're working on doing that right now, hopefully sometime next month, but I can't really put a time stamp on that one. The nice thing about our web-to-print solution is it has allowed us to be a fully 100% print-on-demand model for healthcare. And for the healthcare industry, this is really important as things grow and change on a daily basis, weekly basis. By printing and storing an inventory, we open ourselves up for a lot of waste and a lot of cost that's not necessary. So we are controlling it that way. We're using our web print solution to control it that way as well. So some of the things that we've seen thus far since we've started our web to print solution and we've implemented it, we've been able to clean out our catalogs, maintain across the databases. Right now we're working on transitioning over 900 forms from an external supplier to our catalog. And with that process, we're actually finding that a good portion of that 900 isn't even used anymore. So by putting it into our web-to-print solution, WebCRD, actually you can put expiration dates. You can mark items to expire as soon as, you know, you can mark them as inventory. So if you run out, how many do you need to print? And then we can actually deplete inventory and then move those items with existing inventory to a print-on-demand model if the external supplier has any remaining inventory. Some of the things that we've seen so far is our order volumes are up about 20% more per day versus this time January last year. We finally got permission and working for support and approval over in the fall to roll out this first right of refusal and really focus on driving work internally. And since that time, we've seen a lot of these increases, and our volume is now closer to the 12 million mark than the 10 million mark. So that's a pretty significant increase, and it's nice to have a piece of software like this that can support all that we're trying to do and really helps us, and it's really beneficial for us. We're trying to increase auto flow, so that means whenever you enter an order into the web-to-print solution, if everything matches and meets the criteria for autoflow, it goes direct to our printers. It doesn't have to stop and be reviewed or monitored by somebody watching a queue. It automatically goes to our queue direct, which is another RSA product. And we treat that as like a holding cell. So we use queue direct nowadays for what we call systemic work, which is variable data, transactional work. Some work goes direct to QDirect and it sits there until one of our printers is available, and then we move it from there to a printer. So what we're going next with our web-to-print solution is we're trying to increase the number of templates we use in our variable data. So our right now we do appointment cards. We're going to look at doing letterhead envelopes, business cards, other things like that where there's a lot of customization, but same exact template. We're going to start using WebCRD to report back on all the jobs that we sent externally so that we can perhaps look at why we didn't do those jobs, see what the common factors are, and hopefully work to bring that job back in-house in the future. Also, for additional customer service support, we're looking at adding chat features in on the homepage so that if somebody needs help or somebody has questions at any point or they just want to comment, they can chat with one of us here on the pre-production side, and we'll be able to assist them much faster. In the healthcare world, we find a lot of times people will pick up the phone to call us and have to hurry up and hang up because they just got paged to a patient's room and they don't have that time. So this will allow them to start a conversation, step away, and continue that conversation when they come back. And we're also, with the new versions of WebCRD that we're using, we can run reports on who our users are, who's used it the most recently, everything like that, so that we can develop better communication to our users, better ways to market the Print Center and our tool, better training options. We can implement satisfaction surveys to get the most out of what our users are thinking and understand better what they think could be improved along the way or what they're having trouble with so that we can try and address it up front. A lot of these things that we're working towards and a lot of the benefits of a web-to-print solution free up our team members' time in pre-production to do more value-added things. So as we increase the auto flow more and more and more and we have to review less jobs, those people will have time for better customer service, spending more time with our customers, more time training our customers, more time typesetting, designing, which is also what our pre-production team does, more time bidding on those outsourced jobs, just a lot of analytics around the data that we're developing through this through our web-to-print solution. And having a web-to-print solution like WebCRD does provide a ton of data to review if it's set up properly. And those are our next steps.
Well, Tosh, that is just a great story that you've got there. In fact, a few questions have been coming in as you were talking. I didn't want to interrupt there, but one that came in was kind of wondering what marketing tactics that you've used to promote your web-to-print capabilities.
Well, we let end users know really how easy it is. A lot of times it's web conferences, PowerPoint slides. We like to start, lack of a term, at the top, and we like to educate those who have control over where the printing is going so they can pass it down and encourage their folks to use our web-to-print solution. A lot of people, when they get on there, they love it, so they kind of spread the word, which is also helpful. So we do that. We do a lot of communications. We work with marketing and communications as well to get it out there so they educate people on what to use too.
The other question here is sort of relates to your decision, I guess, process and what the factors that ultimately led you to deciding to pick web-to-print CRD, WebCRD, I should say. Were there some specific things that you kind of narrowed in on and were sort of differentiators for you?
Well, I actually wasn't here whenever we implemented WebCRD, so I actually did not make that decision. So, unfortunately, I can't answer that specifically.
Well, the other thing I thought was particularly interesting is you talked about some of the pre-production and the right of first refusal and some of that capability you've got now, and it sounds like that's gone a long way to helping you drive volume. Was that kind of part of the plan, or is this something that has evolved based on your new capabilities?
No, that was part of the plan. One of the things when we did a study a few years ago over the overall shop and where our bottlenecks happened to be, and one of them happened to be pre-production work. A lot of the reasons we had to turn jobs away were due to lack of pre-production capabilities. So we could just accept the job, but it had to be perfect. And if it wasn't perfect, we had to go back to the users. What we found is that if you're willing to accept anything in terms of like Word documents, different types of files, but have the ability to manipulate it and help them through the process, they're more likely to stay with you and use your system. So That's why we said pre-production is equally as important on the front end as production.
Interesting. In fact, there's another question that came in wondering how you're using WebCRD to report outsourced jobs. So it sounds like you're kind of a clearinghouse, and you're getting the data about that job, and then are you creating specific reports on those outsourced jobs?
Well, right now we're working with our end users who outsource the most jobs and having them enter all their specifications into WebCRD or My Print Request. And if we send that job back out, it's flagged as an external job, and then we can just run reports. WebCRD has customizable reports that you can use, and then we can see what went out, how much we paid, and exactly the specifications as to why we sent it out, if it's something if we couldn't do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And let me one last one before we go to Abbas. It kind of ties into your customer service and sort of wondering, do you have a primary contact for your implant operations?
We have a couple. We have a Print Center Support Services is a distribution list email, and it goes to all of pre-production, and they can send their emails directly to there or call, and we do have a customer service person dedicated to that and processing orders.
Great. Okay. Well, I'm sure we'll be getting a few more questions, and
sure.
We'll have a little time at the end for Q&A.
Okay,
so, Abbas, I'm going to turn it over to you now, and you can tell us a little bit about, you know, Penn State and what your folks are up to and where you are in your journey to web to print.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Tasha, for that awesome story to make my job easier. To give you a little background about Penn State, we are one of the largest universities in the United States. Our main campus is in State College, Pennsylvania, which is right in the center of Pennsylvania. We have 22 campuses in all, the main campus being University Park, and our enrollment roughly a year is 45,000 students, altogether around 60. Out of our facility, we support the main campus as well as some of the tertiary campuses. There's a full portfolio of services, which we'll get into in a minute. So what we hope to cover today, this will be slightly different because we are in a different phase in terms of our WebCRD implementation. So what we want to talk about and try to get across is what we anticipate the benefits to be since we are not there as yet, but also give you a little history about the past. So we were at one point of time the bleeding edge, and being the bleeding edge, we learned a lot of lessons, and our first efforts at web-to-print failed terribly. And so I want to give us some of the learning lessons as to why it did not work, what we learned, and what we plan to do differently. And then as you elaborated, asked earlier, how do we will do different this year in terms of attaining success so that we get a better acceptance rate? So some of the statistics of our facility, and this is our center here, we have roughly a staff of 50 people. We do around, our budget is around $15 million. We do approximately 1.5 million black and white impressions, 11 by 17, because we measure everything in 11 by 17, and around 250 to 300,000 in color, 11 by 17s. We run three shifts, 5 days a week, because a lot of our work is data center work, which runs at night. We have two facilities here at the main campus. One is primarily for production, large runs, and then one is more student-centric right in the middle of the campuses. Our services include pretty much everything from printing and finishing. We have a full offset facility, including, you know, two-color, four-color, black and white. We have data center. We also have a bulk mailing here. We process probably, you know, 2 to 3 million pieces of mail, bulk mail pieces every month. Some of it produced internally, some of it which is outsourced, but brought back for mailing. And we also manage the campus mail operation and the print procurement arm of the university. So if we can't produce it, we outsource it. This is primarily for the large offset printing work. For digital work, we are slightly different in the sense that for our digital work, Penn State is an open campus. So if any local digital printer like a Kinko's or somebody can, in theory, come and, you know, get work. We have a couple of other many local copy shops also who do the work. So there's not as much restriction. Most of the restrictions are on the print side, which makes it a little challenging because whatever we market, it has to be easier because already, you know, competitors could come and position it slightly differently. We also have a fleet management program. We run we are responsible for all the office devices, and that is across all the 22 campuses. So we have roughly 1,500 devices that we manage across roughly 25 locations in Pennsylvania. So why web to print, and why is it important to us? The basic things that we expect, and this is, again, I want to emphasize this is a second round at it. So around this time, when we decided to, again, embark on this second trial, these were our main goals. We expected that we see an increase in the productivity of our facility. We improve the customer interaction. So that's 24/7 because we get orders 24/7 right now, whether through email, through phones, but it's not very efficient and effective because we have to follow up. And so this would make it cleaner. We improve our VDP solution. We do, and I'll come to that in a second, but we do have a VDP solution right now for our stationary items. And it is now 5 years old and it's kind of dated. So this would help us actually make it better. This would migrate all the digital work. We have two or three distinct streams of work that we manage in our facility, and so the goal would be that all the digital work would now come through one stream rather than multiple incoming channels. Definitely, as Tosha alluded to, is automate the production management and the chargeback processes, which are right now antiquated. And then the last aspect is to grow, and there's still a lot more opportunity in terms of products and services that that we can probably expand the gamut. And so those are the main objectives in why we decided to take the second stab at implementing Web2Print again. So let's talk about the past. Why it did not work, what we learned, and what are we doing differently at this time? So we actually started on a Web2Print journey approximately probably 9 years ago. And when it started with us when we refreshed our digital facility, we got a free version of a Web2Print suite. We put that in hoping, you know, that everything would take off and life would be good. Well, it didn't really work out that way. The reasons it didn't work out, and there's many, but if I had to allude to one, it's primarily we didn't put any skin in the game. There was the first thing was that we learned was that originally it was, you know, we build everything, we control everything. The problem with Web2Print is that Web2Print is such a fast evolving system that us taking ownership of it and hosting it and maintaining it, we just couldn't keep enough resources behind it to keep it current and to keep it valid all the time. And so it kind of became antiquated. And people and we fell behind where we couldn't update it with the new things that we were installing on our production side, but our Web2Print was always falling behind. The other thing is, a lack of marketing. We kind of put it out there and said, hey, customers, we have a Web2Print solution. Start using it. There was no motivation and there was no interest, and we really didn't promote it, and there was nothing that made the customer actually wanting to use it. It just was more work for the customer because, again, being an open shop, they could easily just email us and we would do it. So why would the customer want to fill out multiple forms and go through this whole process and take this burden on, which right now they had shifted onto us? So most customers were hesitant because they saw real no gains in terms of the Web2Print. It just meant more work for them. The third part was a lack of infrastructural support. So we lacked IT support, and good IT infrastructure is very critical for it to succeed. We lacked marketing support, and we lacked no ownership within our organization. So we put it out there we just said, you know, customer service reps start using it, customers start using it, but nobody really owned it. And because of that, things started falling through the cracks, and nobody, you know, and it took a long time to find somebody as to what happened, because everybody was owning it, but that meant nobody was owning it. So those are probably the critical lessons. So when we decided to do it again, we said we're going to do so many things differently this time. Some of the things that we looked at doing differently this time are, you know, first of all, we started this process. We went back to the university. So we went back to a set of our IT group. We pulled a couple of customers, and we got in support and from, you know, my superiors as to that if you're making this investment, this is a long-term investment, and we need support from all the groups to actually make it work. So the university buy-in on a larger scale beyond our little department was very critical. We are set up in a different way in the sense we have a shared services group, which is basically marketing and marketing support, organizational support. So we actually have now a project manager dedicated to this project to keep us, all of us, on track. So her essential role is to see that this, you know, develop milestones and see that we hit those milestones, go out and research out what other institutions are doing so that we can implement best practices and keep this project moving forward and keep it and ensure that we are using the best technologies and the best solutions as we fit together. The third piece of it is that internally within our institution, within my unit as well, we've identified one person actually to own this. So unlike everybody just doing it, there's one owner who's going to basically champion this project from its initial phase through its full implementation. There's going to be a whole slew of marketing support coming in from the marketing group. We're going to test it with a couple of small pilot customers. We're going to use a specific segment of the market to work this and kind of iron the kinks out. So what is a launch plan? We're going to pilot with, instead of just launching the whole thing. If we do that, we are worried that our customers are going to resist because it's going to mean more work for them. Because right now they can just email the file or, you know, drop the file in the, or just, you know, hard copy it, and now we're asking them to write a ticket and actually take ownership and approve it. So we are concerned that we will have a lot of resistance. But what we have had a lot of success with is our VDP stationery, because the stationery is a control item. Most of it currently we do internally, and we do have a VDP solution. It's kind of antiquated, but it still works, and we have a very high acceptance rate. Not 100%, but probably around the 70% range, where 70% of our stationery, business cards, letterheads, envelopes, are going in the in a web-to-print model, where they go online, they typeset it themselves, they proof it, they create a job ticket, and they submit it. So when we put this new plan in, we're going to, again, launch it with those same familiar products, so the customer base doesn't see much difference. And when they see this, they say, oh, okay, this is similar. And then slowly, kind of, you know, the frog in the hot water analogy, that instead of just, you know, dropping it, it's going to be, you know, simmer until everybody realizes this change happens and it, you know, and it goes smoothly. Again, focus on key customer acceptance. We know that we'll never get all our customers to buy in. So our hope is that if we get, you know, the 20% of the max, the Pareto rule, if you get 80% of the traffic, the 20% of our major customers, we'll focus our resources around that, and rather than worry about everybody, because that's where we believe that was part of our failure. We went after every small customer, and we just don't have the resources to do that. The biggest piece is going to be marketing. We will have to emphasize savings, and we'll have to emphasize savings that are not just just time, but dollars. So we expect to, you know, do a lot of one-on-one training. That's one of the reasons we've identified an owner within our facility who can reach out to the individual customers. We're going to put online videos. We're going to run open houses. The goal is actually we're going to set up a web-to-print station in this facility and the other facilities where customers walk in. Even with a job, we can have them actually work it right there rather than hand it off, is walk them through the job. We'll do online cross-marketing. We have a common website for a lot of our core auxiliary services across the campus, and so we will push this through that, whether it be the parking office, whether it be procurement, whether it be some of the food services for students, so that there's this cross-platform that everybody reaches it across, and then run with a mail campaign. And the mail campaign might feature some discounts initially for first-time use with a code. So anything to get the traffic up and get people to use it. So as I said, we acquired this probably around 3 to 4 months ago in terms of actually getting the system. The first part was about where we are is developing the infrastructure and the engagement rules. So it was essential that we, because now we've engaged IT, and we're not doing it ourselves, we've engaged our university IT group to actually set it up, that we develop a set of standard operating rules and rules of engagement so they know what they're doing, we know what we're doing, and so that everybody's on the same track. The way our solution is also set up is slightly different, so that we hope that it'll work better than in the past. Is though it will reside on our server, the vendor is going to manage the solution. So they will be responsible for the updates, for the troubleshooting, but it will reside on our server. So the security issues are eliminated because it resides on our server, but it's going to be managed by the vendor offsite. It'll also have single sign-on. So that means it will authenticate with the university's sign-on ID system so that people who won't have multiple sign-on, they can log in into any university system with the same system that they would use to log into this. So those are the kind of things that we are working up. The other part is working up the basic operational site requirements. You know, what is it going to do? What is the, how many things do we want it to do? What are the things we are going to build in? What are the services we are going to offer? We've identified a project manager and a unit level owner, and as I alluded to earlier, and then we planned our timeline right now, and actually the person who's going to manage this is also on the phone on the other side, and maybe she's also not seen this. I'm sure she's going to be surprised when she hears that we've got a timeline outlined for her. but we plan to work through some of these background components by March, develop a preliminary set of products by end of April or so, test in May, primarily around, again, stationery, and begin the, getting the buzz out to the campus, and then actually do our launch, a formal launch in June, again, strictly for the priceless products, which are VDP stationery. So that would be an easy transition because most of those folks, and that is the general large user base of our customers who would use this is, the staff assistants, office people who order small jobs. And they would be very familiar with the VDP stationery because they've used it. This would hopefully make it an easy transition for them. And then, hopefully when we meet again, we'll be able to, in June, talk to you about our success and failures, about what went well through this install. Because, I think the rollout is very critical. And get into some of our learning lessons and maybe even some early results. And with everybody's support and good wishes, I know those answers are probably going to be all positive.
Well, great, Abbas. There's a few questions that have been coming in as you've been speaking, and I'm going to throw a few out at you and then a few more perhaps for Tasha as well in the last 10 minutes or so we have here. One question was regarding to your project manager and kind of getting a sense of either the background or level of this individual. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of characterize them?
Okay. So our unit-level project manager, which is the project manager within my unit, the person is very familiar with what we do. They have a very good understanding of the technology in the sense that they've worked with MIS systems, they've worked with workflows, so they know how things interact with each other. More importantly, it's important that they have an understanding of the customer. They have a customer relationship so that they have walked in the customer's shoes. So they can kind of look at it from the customer's perspective and develop a solution that would mirror both sides to make it seamless. some of the other qualities is going to be the primary responsibility for the 6 to 8 months or a year while it takes this cycle. But they know our process and they know the organization very well. Now the outside project manager, her job is primarily to keep everybody, all the parties straight and to kind of develop milestones and see that the IT works, does what their thing, we do our thing, reach out and look at, other web to print sites. So that person is more an internet savvy person who can, go on to work with search engines and look at things and visualize and more to encapsulate what are the best practices rather than, so they don't have that much in-depth knowledge of our workflow, but that person is more has a better understanding of how technology works together so that they can, extract those best practices and bring it to this website.
Okay. Another question here is maybe for both of you can give a brief comment. Wondering along the lines, do you have any kind of approval process in place for job submission, either in terms of the types of jobs that are allowed or any approval that may be required based on the parameters of the job?
Let me go first. So generally, and this is our current approval process as well, is that most of our products run through budgets. And generally, if a transaction is above a certain spec amount, and right now the transaction amount is $10,000, it requires a secondary level of approval. If it's below $10,000, the person who originates it can we don't question it. Again, but our whole web-to-print solution is built around small products and small services, where the cost threshold is not going to be that high. And given the amount of transactions we do, we know that there's going to be some failure transactions, some transactions that are going to go bad because the person left the office. They started a job, and then they moved. And the next person says, I don't know what to do with it, and I had never ordered it, and I'm not going to pay for it. We even face that currently, and we kind of bill for it, that there's going to be some degree of small bad debt. Budgets run out of money. Those things happen, but that we consider as just cost of doing business, just like an external vendor.
How about you, Tasha? Do you have any approval process involved?
Well, right now, when an end user enters an order, they're required to enter their business unit ID as well as their department cost center number. If those two numbers don't match, they can't submit an order. There are a lot of options within the WebCRD platform that can be used to set up approvals, but for us, it's internal, and if they send us a job, then we accept that we don't have a current limit on that. Now, if we do send a job outside, we are required to get 3 bids and choosing the lowest of those 3 bids or based on the service levels and turnaround times, but we are required to document those 3 jobs if we do send it externally. If it's internally, we don't have a approval process yet.
Do either of you take jobs from external customers, or do you strictly work with internal customers?
We strictly work with internal customers. In terms of external customers, the only external customers would be students who pay with credit cards or the ID, ID Plus system.
Right.
But no external customers.
We don't accept external customer orders at this time either. It's come up in discussions 1 or 2 times, but we haven't looked towards that just yet.
There's been a couple questions regarding security, and I'm not, Abbas, you were talking a little bit about some of the single sign-on and other you had in place there.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other measures you've put into place to limit any security issues? And same for you, Tasha, obviously with a medical, orientation.
Part of the whole evaluation process was IT was involved aggressively in ensuring that it met all our internal standards of data encryption in terms of how the data comes across. The way it is set up on a virtual server, where the server is not going to interact with any of the other systems, so that it limits interaction and it limits hacking. Again, it's tied to the university budget system, so that when the person comes in, it owns the budget. If the budgets don't work, it basically blocks it out. And again, we don't plan to take credit cards on this through this for security purposes, because that would open a whole different layer of encryption that we don't want to deal with right now. So it's strictly going to be for transactions that are budget based. You could, if you had credit card, it'll just say, you know, we're going to pay by cash or credit card, but we're not going to actually accept those through the system, so that that third or fourth tier of security is not needed.
And as far as security for the UPMC, we don't accept any credit card or other payment transactions. Everything has to be billed back to a department and cost center ID number that's entered whenever the order is entered. If it's not entered, the order won't go through. As far as patient information, when we do variable data transactions, all that information goes direct from server to our QDirect server. And then straight to our printers. So there's no other interaction or involvement or changing of that information. We print prescription pads, but that is also done manually. The orders are entered into my print request, but we are given the files offline so that they can't be duplicated and repeated.
Mm-hmm. And the other couple questions that have come up are around sort of return on investment. And Tosh, I know you kind of weren't there when the initial implementation was done, and certainly Abbas, you're kind of in the middle of it. But have there been some ROI factors, or you know, kind of financial justification you've been able to demonstrate, and maybe also allow you to make further investments based on all this?
So we actually just came off of an ROI process to actually justify getting a new facility with newer equipment. So we're looking at moving our facility to the other side of town, and with a lot more, probably about an additional 10,000 square feet. And we did an ROI process for that. We're looking at saving, I think it was like 1.2 or 1.4 million over the first 2 years of the process. And we did that actually in reverse. We went and tracked down the money. We worked with finance, and then we went back to the users who spent the money to identify what they spent it on, and worked our way back to where we possibly might put ourselves in that situation, or put ourselves as the solution to the external spend and the return on the investment.
When we look at, you know, the amount of transactions that we do, especially as you mentioned with the growth of short run and quick turn work, we process so many transactions. When we look at the customer service time that we would save, the IT time that we would save, and then the billing time, so many of the administrative costs, we expect that we would, you know, easily look at over 5 years, probably, you know, FTE plus once we have a full system in place. So that is from our internal cost side. From the customer side, we expect that just the speed and the ease of processing, that if we can eliminate, you know, 15 minutes per transaction from the customer side, and we multiply that by the couple of hundred transactions that we process every day, we believe that the ROI is very easily traded up. And we know that for a fact, because we've just done that on a small scale with the stationery, and it has worked very well, and that's the reason we've got the buy-in to, you know, look at, again, retrying it with a full-scale system.
Right. Well, great. We have a few other questions here, and perhaps we can get those to you and Tasha, maybe get some offline responses. But I'd like to thank everybody for attending the webinar. There are additional ones out there that you may want to check the series on the Implant Graphics webinar site. There's going to be a feedback survey, and if you could take a minute to answer that, it's going to come up right after this webinar closes, and you can see it right there. Also, there's an InfoTrends white paper report that you can have as a free download, and I encourage you to check that out. It's based on some of our research. And also, I believe the good folks at UPMC did a case study with Rochester Software. You can get that at their website as well. So I hope you enjoyed this, and definitely look forward to your participation later on in June. And thanks very, very much to Tasha and Abbas. I hope everyone else has a good day. Thank you.
Thank you.